on the Dynasty Roundtable, and we are just going to go right into it because we have a special guest tonight. He is the content czar. He's the leading content provider here at playerprofiler.com. He's my boss, and that means, you know, Theo and I, man, we're just like this time of year. So give it up for the OG fantasy, the one and only Theo Greminger, back on the Dynasty Roundtable. How you doing tonight, Theo?
I'm back, fellas, and we're going to be back next week with the NFL draft, so it's like perfect timing. We're right there. We want to know the landing spots, but I'm stoked to draft with you guys. Five rounds, Matt Babich. This is truly, truly sicko territory, but I'm stoked for it. I love it.
Yeah, this is what we live for. We live for the chaos, for the hecticness. This is NFL draft season. We're less than 10 days away ish. I mean, this is sicko mode, as the kids say.
Eight days, Matt.
Eight days.
Yeah.
I should have that internally.
Yeah. Thursday night.
So if you want to draft with us, I can't believe it. I'm going to double check here. There's one spot still available in our mock draft. These spots are filling up quick.
Harry Snowman, what are you doing? I see Harry Snowman in the chat. Harry Snowman, just jump in the draft.
Yeah, just there's one spot left. You can
Jared Dean, hop in. Sam Babich.
Yeah.
Related to Matt Babich.
In some way, shape, or form. Some say he's my father.
jump in the draft, Sam. Do you know ball?
He is.
Jump in
he
the
is.
Chat.
He's in. Okay, we're not going to quite draft yet because we have to get some nuggets from Theo first.
Okay, let's do it.
Theo, we got to ask you some questions before we mock. All right, this is rookie season. Rookies. So we just have some basic questions for you. Number one, right now, you've been doing these mocks on your channel. You've been like future cast all over the place. Who is your favorite rookie at value right now?
At value right now is probably, for fantasy football purposes, Marshawn Lloyd.
Okay.
Because I think he's in a perfect... I'll take that back. Marshawn Lloyd is a good value, but I'll say Roman Wilson. Because you continually get Roman Wilson somewhere around the 2-3 turn in Superflex. I think after the NFL draft, it might correct back to where he was after the Senior Bowl, which is closer to like pick 16. I think he could land quite well. You know, you look at some of those landing spots in the second round, you know, he lands with Washington, he lands with Pittsburgh. There's a number of spots that I think he could be in the wheelhouse for. He'll be right at around the second round, maybe the third round, but he's going to land somewhere on day two. And if he lands well with that profile, I think he's going to move right back up in our drafts. It's just so flat right now, and flat in a good way with appealing wide receivers. I know, Seth, you're a big Malachi Corley guy. Those kind of guys are all sort of jumbled up together, and we'll have a little bit more clarity when we have the landing spots and we have the draft capital. So I'll say Roman Wilson is sort of that perfect mix of we'll have good draft capital, does have a profile we like at Player Profiler, and also did very well at the Senior Bowl, which has been a good, like, it's been a good, source of finding fantasy value. Wide receivers that go to the Senior Bowl and do well, whether it's Deebo Samuel, whether it's Tank Dell, whether it's Puka Nacua, it's been sort of a consistent feeder for NFL success. So I'm on Roman Wilson as my favorite value right now.
What about you, Matt Babich? Who's your favorite value right now?
Ooh, so I'm going to stick in the receiver group, and I'm going to talk about Javon Baker. And I know it's almost a little chalk right now to even say Javon Baker, because he's a guy who's been steamed up in conversations. I mean, going back to 2 months ago, but he continues to be undervalued in drafts. And we talk about guys who go to the Senior Bowl and perform well. Javon Baker is on that list. And considering the talent that was around him in UCF, his production numbers are very enticing. And he has the type of skill set at receiver that, you know, go day two, day three, he's going to pay off for a team. He's a hard worker. You know, I haven't seen the dog ratings, but I have to imagine that Javon Baker is going to score highly in Cody Carpentier's dog rating system. And we saw from last year, he pinned Trey Palmer, and he's a guy who broke through, and he was a third round plus pick in rookie picks. And so that's not necessarily play style wise, but he's a guy who he may not necessarily pay off in year one because we don't have any sort of guaranteed draft capital coming through yet, but he's a guy can find himself third, fourth on the depth chart, and he has that work ethic and talent, ability to separate yards after the catch ability and contested catch ability. He can catch in all kind. He can make plays in all three phases of the game, and combine that with his work ethic. If he has an opportunity, he's going to be a guy who I want on all of my rosters.
You want to see that round three though, Matt, like with him, I think it's kind of a round four, but round three, if he lands round three, you're feeling a lot better about things. It's just an easier bet to make.
Yeah, if he truly turns into Trey Palmer and gets that fifth round or less draft capital, then things start getting really shaky. But I'm willing to bet on it right now because his ADP is still pretty low.
Yeah, and I'm just gonna go with my guy, and he's not getting a lot of buzz, but I think Theo knows where I'm gonna go with this. But Jermaine Burton, probably, depending on the league, you could probably get him in the fourth round. I think that there's an outside chance that he sneaks into day two. That's just a sneaking suspicion, but that's probably a long shot. If that happens, the value's probably not going to be there. But good day three landing spot. I think Jermaine Burton is going to be really good. So real quick, I'll twist this question. Theo, who is your least favorite rookie at value?
Gosh, that's a really, and again, I'm not trying to be like a cop out with this answer, but I do think it's a little bit, there's a sort of a lack of clarity at the end of the first round right now in super flex drafts, because I think the landing spots will sort of determine some things. But I'll say right now, in terms of, I really like Brian Thomas, but in single QB leagues, if we were drafting tomorrow, I'd have to use the 105 on him. And that's tough. Like, I like him a lot, but that's sort of like, if I have to use the 105 on Brian Thomas, I could trade back a few spots, and I'm probably feeling like I'm making a similar bet in terms of high-end fantasy success. Like, I like him a lot, but I feel like it's gotten steamed up to a point where the return on investment, so to speak, for where I'm going to have to take him in rookie drafts. Like, if I'm taking a guy 105, he better be a guy who I can start consistently as a rookie and also has, you know, potential for multiple wide receiver two or better seasons. So I'm not, I guess it's probably Brian Thomas at this point. Now, if Brian Thomas lands really well on Thursday night, like let's say Arizona trades down and they take him at 11, then I'm probably okay with it. But without knowing the landing spot, I have a little bit of my comfort level is not high when I have to use that super, super early one on Thomas. And I'll say some news on your boy Jermaine Burton today, Seth, with Dane Brugler and saying that a couple NFL teams have him off their list. They will not draft him. There's some attitude concerns.
Oh.
A lot of the Alabama and Georgia coaches, there's some stuff behind the scenes. So that'll be an interesting one. If he could fall big time, Matt, like Burton falls to day three, that might be your kind of Trey Palmer type guy.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, we don't know. If that's true, then, you know, like I have to reevaluate some things, because that's the one thing we can't, when we look at the tape, when we look at the metrics, we look at all of it, like we don't know what kind of mental makeup these guys have. And that's maybe the most important piece of it. So if he's a challenging dude in the room and some teams have him off their NFL board. Yeah, that's not great. That's not good, Bob. So
six schools in 8 years, including high schools. So Burton, you know, he's a little transient, a little more transient than we want to see from our second round picks, but he can play, man. Definitely can play.
Man, the tape is great, but yeah, man. Hopefully, if it only takes one team to take a shot on him, but again, hopefully it's not some train wreck of a team like, I don't know, the Jaguars or some organization like that. Like, I don't know. It's like some.
What do we have against the Jaguars?
Have you seen AEW recently? It's like a window into the cons.
All right. I'm upset that I even asked the question. I don't even know if you know that I watch AEW, but that was a low.
That was a low blow. That's a wrestling term too. Low blow.
I didn't need that today.
Anyway, but yeah, it's not a well-oiled machine. Like the coach, Doug Peterson's good, but I'm just saying that there's some challenges there. They might not set their players up for success. They get bad reviews and surveys. Anyway, Matt Babich, we're going to try to move on. Who is your least favorite rookie in this rookie class at value right now?
I'm always happy to talk about Keon Coleman. So
right
now, mid-second round pick, and I haven't talked about him a ton on this podcast, but when I have, it's been negative. So the true followers of the Dynasty Roundtable podcast know that I've never been in on Keon Coleman. And I think it's the raw athleticism and the highlight plays that continue to prop him up. I'm reminded of Hakeem Butler when I watch. I'm reminded of Denzel Mims. I'm reminded of the athletic freak of a player where I wasn't completely sold on the film, but I let the raw athleticism tell me that he can be great. I've lost that bet a lot of times, and I'm not going to do it again with Keon Coleman. So you look at his...
I'll take a little Keon Coleman, Matt Babich. I'll clean up those Keon chairs.
That's fine.
In the middle of the second round is totally fine with me for Keon Coleman. Like, and I'm the... like Keon Coleman, I don't know what to do with. Like, he's the player that I'm like, he could be really good because there's a lot to like on tape. He's athletically freaky, but continue, Matt. Sorry, we didn't mean to
talk about your favorite value, Roman Wilson, and he is two spots below Keon Coleman. I don't know how accurate these sleeper rankings are that they're putting out there, but he's only two spots behind him. So if that's reality, are you taking Keon Coleman over Roman Wilson?
I think that you're not having to make that decision in most of these drafts that I've been in. But yeah, I think that Keon Coleman, Keon Coleman, if he gets that top 40 draft capital, you know, you're talking about a guy who's certainly not a finished product, but he's 20 years old. This is a guy that outscored Jaden Reed when they were head to head at Michigan State. This is a guy that we've seen have immediate success at Florida State, and I get it. But a lot of those guys that you kind of reference, those guys steamed up a little bit higher. You know, a lot of times you get those kind of hyper athletic outside wide receivers and you're having to use that like kind of mid first round pick on, and they sort of bust out. But with Coleman, like Seth said, unless something crazy happens during the NFL draft, you're having to use sort of a mid second on him. And I think at that sort of price point, he's a reasonable bet. For every time you have sort of a bust with that, you know, the sort of lack of separation, big athletic guy on the outside, when those guys hit, they can really, really hit. So I think Coleman's the kind of guy you really want to have some exposure to, especially if you're a higher volume dynasty guy. And certainly the co-hosts of the Dynasty Roundtable do not have one dynasty team. So I think Keon Coleman's not the guy you want to box out of the equation, unless he gets steamed up to a point where you're having to use like the 109, 110 on him. Let's say he gets the nuts landing spot. Let's say he's a Buffalo Bill. Then Matt Babich, I think your fade becomes a little bit more of a proper fade. I think this one is sort of it's the price point of him makes him sort of appealing. Because I think when we started this process, Seth, like way back, if we were doing this during the college football season, we might have said Keon Coleman's going a lot higher than he currently is, because a lot of these wide receivers like Adonai Mitchell and Brian Thomas have lapped him. So right now he's fallen into that second round. Second round, I think, you know, you're right in the wheelhouse of taking some shots.
Yeah, that's a fair point, because I can think of one dynasty team of mine where if he were available in that range, I have a plethora of wide receivers and I can afford to take that pick and afford a miss. You know, he's a flex guy that turns into a premium asset if he hits. So I'm, you know, he's my least favorite pick at value right now, because you have to spend a mid second round pick on someone who we're classifying as a pretty good bet. So I think that it's all about risk aversion. It's all about your current team. most of my current teams, I'm not willing to add the risk of Keon Coleman and missing on a player where I could, in a super flex league, take a shot on Bo Nix, who could potentially get higher draft capital than we're looking at. Spencer Rattler, if some team, maybe not second round, but Michael Penix Jr., he's probably around that range, maybe even trade up. There's just a lot of options for my dynasty team, and I don't like the peripherals at all with Keon Coleman. And while I think his athleticism and big playmaking ability is certainly something that can be tapped into, I think there would be more metrics that are showing that he's good at football for me to be more bought into having some more shares of Keon Coleman.
And not to get into like a Keon Coleman debate, but also when you get a guy that size and they're using him in the return game, that should tell you something, especially on a team like that State, where there's lots of dudes.
That's a great point.
Still want to get the ball in his hand. So that's usually like the guys that you see getting the return opportunities. A lot of the guys that ended up being good in fantasy had that in their profile in college. So, we want to try to get you just a little bit of exposure to Keon Coleman, Matt. Just a little.
No, that's a great point, because dynamism is, it's a big part of the breakout finder, projections that they put out there. And the breakout finder is incredibly adept, not inept. It is good at predicting future success based on all of these college analytics that we need to look at. So, hey, I'll open the door a little bit for Keon Coleman.
Just a little crack.
Can I want to talk about, this is a full nuanced take, and this is how you know that Seth DeWald is growing as a person and as a dynasty analyst. I have come around on Braylon Allen. He was, once upon a time in the RB1 days, when some people had him way up there, I went, whoa, hold on now. I don't know if this kind of running back with this makeup, he's big, I get it, he broke out early, but I'm skeptical. Okay, I like Trey Benson better. Trey Benson was my RB1. Jalen Wright, I didn't know enough about yet, but throughout the process, Jalen Wright steamed up my board. Braylon Allen is now going routinely in these mock drafts in like the third round. In the third round, I'm fine with taking Braylon Allen. I mean, who knows what can happen? We don't know these landing spots. That's one that's going to be fascinating for me to find out. If Braylon Allen gets one of these spots, like the Cowboys, the Chargers now with J.K. Dobbins is maybe off the table, maybe not, who knows. But I think I'm back in on Braylon Allen at value. What do you guys think?
I think that that's the correct move, and I think that the days of taking him in any sort of a rookie third round are going to go away after the NFL draft, because the Vegas markets have him somewhere in the 80s for his draft capital. Yeah. And if he's selected in the third round, you'll see sort of a quick correction. It's funny because they put the over-unders for Jonathan Brooks and for Braylon Allen literally where the Dallas Cowboys are picking in the second round and where the Dallas Cowboys are picking in the third round. So Dallas has a pick right in the 80s. They're like 86, 85, somewhere in that range. Braylon Allen is a player they've been linked to. And then they've also been linked to, obviously, Jonathan Brooks. So I think both of those guys are definitely – Dallas is taking a running back, and I think both those guys are two options on the board for them. And I think Braylon Allen, all he has to do is fall into the third round. And the worst case, he's like a good A.J. Dillon, where he's a guy that somebody's going to take, and they're going to have utility out of him. He'll have contingent upside. He'll have goal line ability. Sort of a better A.J. Dillon, I think, is sort of where he profiles out to. He's got the size. I think he's going to get the third round draft capital. This is not the kind of guy that should be falling into your third round of your rookie drafts. I mean, I think at the worst, he's a solid handcuff running back in the league with potential to be the goal line back. He improved as a receiver last year. I know it's sort of fake production where it wasn't like dynamic receiving ability. It was more dump offs, but still adding that to his game, getting north of 25 catches was a step forward for a young 19-year-old running back. And I think you nailed it. Like, Seth, we want to see guys succeed in college, and he certainly did it. He was 17 years old in a grown-ass man league like the Big Ten. So Braylon Allen is certainly not perfect. I don't think he's as exciting as about like three or four running backs in this draft class, but I think he's still got a chance to be like the third running back, fourth running back off the board, and I do think he'll land on day two.
All right, one more question for you, Theo, and then we'll get to our mock draft. What is a rookie sleeper that you are leaving every rookie draft with as of right now?
I've been taking Kamani Vidal every time we do something like this. Kamani Vidal had the elite speed score. He has the size. He has the athletic ability. This is a guy that had over 1,600 rushing yards last year. And I think that he's the kind of guy that I think the market is treating like he's a seventh rounder or maybe an undrafted free agent. And I think he'll end up being a fifth round pick. Now, fifth round running backs can be guys we kind of still brush aside, but fifth round running backs who land very well can end up being like Chase Brown was last year. Chase Brown gets drafted in the fifth round, has the athletic profile, and ends up steaming up our rookie draft boards. He ends up being like a third round pick everywhere, second round pick in a couple of single QB leagues. I don't know if Kamani Vidal is going to do that, but I think at the end of the day, Kamani Vidal might end up being a third round rookie pick. And right now he's practically free in some of these rookie drafts. I also think Tyrone Tracy right now is super interesting. A guy that's also steaming up, a converted wide receiver, great athleticism. He's old. He's like 24 years old, but it got a little bit of Antonio Gibson to the profile where it's a guy who was a converted wide receiver. He's got the elite athleticism and we know he can catch the ball out of the backfield. Didn't really get an opportunity to do that at Purdue. But I think an NFL team is going to say we can do something with this guy as a receiver and he's got some utility as a runner as well.
Yeah. I love Tyrone Tracy as a fellow Boilermaker. You know, it finally took us, you know, 4 years to find a running back that we could actually play. And it was all thanks to Iowa, back in the days of Xander Horvath, the Chargers fullback leading our rushing attack. Is it too chalk for me to say Malik Washington? Because
that's a sleeper.
It's as true now as it ever has been. Malik Washington, we talk about dynamic playmakers, and that's Malik Washington. He's been getting a lot of hype coming into, you know, throughout the draft process. To be honest, I don't really know exactly where he's getting drafted now, or where he's mocked to get drafted, but I'm not expecting it to be, it's going to be borderline day three, if not, you know, round four or five, if I'm just guessing, because I don't think he's gotten the draft steam, but he's a guy who he 94th percentile college dominator rating. So he was Virginia's offense, 48 or 47%. I mean, that's a massive share of a team's yards and touchdowns. So Virginia, and this is not a pass heavy offense. This is not an Oregon, a USC, a Washington, an LSU. This is Virginia. If you ever watched a game of Virginia, I think I caught one of their games and it was one of the slowest moving, hard to watch offenses that I've ever seen. But Malik Washington propelled that offense, was dominating the targets. And he's got the burst. He's got the speed. He has the size over another late round sleeper that I like, Jacob Cowing, where he's an inch taller and 20 pounds heavier. And they both share a lot of the same qualities where they can take the ball out of the backfield on a reverse. They can get the ball in open space, but they can also win downfield. And so he's a skilled guy who's going to shine in camp. And he's a guy whose value will probably spike if he gets good landing spot, but is probably going to stay in that sweet spot of the fourth round or later in all of your rookie drafts.
So I think Malik Washington might actually move up a little bit, Matt. And I think he's a much better bet than your guy Cowing. Like Washington has that thick with like three C's at the end.
Yeah.
Type frame, exactly. And the athleticism and the production. And we saw a Virginia wide receiver last year do it. Dontavian Wicks sort of exceeded his draft capital. I think there's a chance that we see Washington on round three, and I think you nailed it. If he falls out of day two, then he'll be one of these guys that is drafted in the fourth round, and it'll be one of those fourth round guys that we kind of convince ourselves on. Like, he's really, really fun, and the production was absolutely ridiculous. Dominant production last year.
Yeah, and his ability to just break tackles was impressive. And Player Profiler's best comparable player is Zay Flowers, and that's something that really gets the engine going when you start thinking about what he could do at the next level.
You guys have Jerry Sinclair of the Dynasty Warzone in the chat. Shout out to the Warzone. Shout out to Memphis and Jerry.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'll throw out a name here that I was actually watching film today, and I was very impressed. Rasheen Ali from Marshall. This is a guy, 20 years old, had 1,401 rushing yards and 24 touchdowns. And then the next year, he only played in three games. He cited physical, mental, emotional issues. And, you know, it was to the point where, the coach wasn't even, they weren't sure what was going on. But he came back his senior year and returned to form. 1,100 rushing yards, 16 total touchdowns. And the best part is in 2021, 46 receptions, and in 2023, 28 receptions. So this is a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield as well. I had to use Ali because, Matt Babbage stole Malik Washington and, Theo stole Tyrone Tracy from me. But this is what happens when you're amongst people who know what they're talking about.
You don't go, it's not your first rodeo, Seth, and you're going third. Going third is never a smart move. You did the same thing to me last week on Futurecast when you start talking about Jaden Sheridan.
That's right.
And I'm like, oh man, I'm going to have to scramble here. And I went Jalen Coker.
That's right. So we're going to do a quick break here, quick informative segment. But when we come back, we're going to get right into the mock draft. It is full. So maybe next time, if you want to be in a mock draft, you just check Twitter, follow us on Twitter, be alert on Twitter. That's where everything goes. But we'll do a quick message from the Podfather about the Dynasty Deluxe, or actually the Dynasty Dominator app. But don't go anywhere. Mock draft coming at you right after this.
Now, I know many of you are looking for a secret weapon for your Dynasty League, and I have it. It's called the Dynasty Dominator app. You go to the App Store, go to Google Play. It's right there. It's $5 to download, and then every year it's $5 to load the next incoming class of rookies. You can add Superflex, add tight end premium. It's incredible because it allows you to look up players. It allows you to vote on whether a player is a buy, hold, or sell, and then see the market sentiment on that player. And you can compare their lifetime value rating from Player Profiler to their Dynasty ADP at the FFPC, all in the price lookup tool. And beyond that, we have a trade analyzer, so you'll never lose another Dynasty trade again. And in our settings, you can set, this is a win now team, this is a rebuilding team, and then we let you compare players. Look at their metrics side by side. Prospect metrics, NFL metrics. It's all there. It's $5 in the App Store. There's some add-ons for Superflex and to buy the upcoming rookie class. Every year, you're going to spend $5 on this thing, and it's going to be well worth it.
All right, go get the Dynasty Dominator app today. Also, go check out the Dynasty Warzone, which is a show that airs on Sunday nights. Memphis Young, Jerry Sinclair, they've done 10,000 episodes. You need to go watch every single one. When I say that they are some of the people that I look to, I'm not kidding. Like it's a must-watch show that you have to go check out, the Dynasty Warzone. But we have our draft board pulled up here, and we have a full draft. And like Theo said, this is a 5-round Superflex PPR tight end premium rookie draft. So this is real sicko stuff. But I'm not gonna lie, Theo, every league I'm in has a 5-round rookie draft. So I don't know, maybe.
Oh, I'm in mine. All have 7 rounds, but usually, when you go on podcasts, they cut it off at like 2 or 3. But guys, we're in the streets. We're in the streets.
We're in the streets, and we have Harry Snowman. We have Bradley Stalder in here. We have Jonathan Lang in here. Maddie Kiwum's in here. So that you're drafting against, if you're in this mock draft, you're drafting against some of the best player profiler analysts out there. So I'm going to go ahead and start this bad boy. I hope we might get some auto picks, but that just tends to happen when people sign up real early. And these go pretty quick. So I'll pause it after each round and we'll talk about our picks, and I'll let people know what the picks are for the podcast audience. But if you aren't aware, we have Theo picking at 3. Matt is picking right after Theo at the 104. And then I'm all the way at the tail end of the draft at the 111. So whoever JT Thomas, okay, he's in. All right. They would have been very shameful if you would have auto-picked the 101. But luckily, we avoided that disaster. Now Theo's up at the 103.
You could go two ways here, but I'm going to go Malik Nabers over the quarterback, the truly elite wide receiver.
Yep. And I was going to choose five, but then it would, cause I would have someone fall into my lap, but then it would look like I was ducking Theo at four. So I chose four. I still think that this pick is a question between the quarterback and the superstar wide receiver. Cause I think Romo Dunze does belong in that conversation of elite receivers who we can look on next year and see his value creep up to potentially top 15, 16 in the league on a public crowdsource like Keep Trade Cut. But I'm going to go with the more secure spot at in where I think is a slight tier break and take Jaden Daniels, who steps into a very good situation for a rookie quarterback. We see Bryce Young get tossed to Carolina. Excuse me. Jaden Daniels is going to have Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, potentially another receiver at his disposal, along with Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler, two capable pass catching backs. Not the best O-line, but a good situation to be in for a playmaker like Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. I personally have Rome in ahead of Jaden Daniels in my own personal rankings, but I can't deny that if he gets pick number two with Washington, that is such a much better situation than New England, which is where I thought he might wind up. But just thinking like Drake May gets taken second overall, that's kind of what I thought would happen. But it really looks like Jaden Daniels is going to go number two overall. At least that's the scuttlebutt, the rumors. So, yeah, that's totally fine. I mean, totally fine with it, even though I'm not the biggest Jaden Daniels fan. There's no doubt that he has a ton of fantasy upside.
Yeah, it'll come to team need, really. Like, if you're a QB needy team and you're taking Odunze over Daniels, I think that's a bit misguided. I think Daniels certainly isn't a bulletproof prospect, but he is going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL for the next 2 to 3 seasons, and that's what really matters.
Drake May falling to the 107 becomes a steal territory, and like, let's trade into it, because Drake May in many other years would be the number one pick in the NFL draft. He just happens to be in a draft where there's Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. You know, is he perfect? No, but he's got athletic tools. He's got a cannon of an arm. He's got enough sample size. Like, that's a steal if he falls to the 107 territory. Like, one you might look back on in a few years in your super flex league and say, how the heck was Drake May the 107 in that draft?
4,300 yards at 20 years old. And nearly 700 rushing yards with the Josh Downs as his wide receiver one.
And I'll say this, Josh Downs was pretty good. And then Tez Walker, he had last year as a 1 year guy from Kent State. But they, like Seth, pushing back a little bit, I don't love the Patriots landing spot either. But you talk about a guy like Drake May, and will an offensive coordinator use him as a runner, which is in his range of outcomes, but it takes kind of two to tango there, where the offensive scheme is going to have him do it. His chances of being sort of a one-man gang and having a few more design runs and being a little bit more of a threat around the goal line, a la Josh Allen, might be there more in New England than in some other situations. So I'm not like, if the market wants to treat New England like the disaster zone, I think it might create an opportunity for you to get in there and buy.
No, that's totally fair. That's totally fair. I totally get it. And to Matt's point too, like, these are getting Drake May at the 107. I remember Justin Herbert fell quite a ways in rookie drafts way back in the day. And I mean, Drake May has a lot of things. Like, at the 107, I have no problem taking him there. Like Theo was saying, that's the ultimate value of all values. And then, you know, McCarthy goes right after him. But I'll just recap the first round for the podcast audience. At the 101, Marvin Harrison goes off the board. Caleb Williams is next, followed by Malik Nabers, Jaden Daniels, Brock Bowers, Roma Dunze, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell. And then Bradley takes Ladd McConkey at the 112, which I don't think is crazy at all. Guys, any takeaways from this round one before we go into round two?
fairly chalky. I think that the one change here would be when we get to the actual rookie drafts post NFL draft. I think whoever the RB1 or the running back who lands with Dallas or maybe the Chargers has a chance to get in here. And then I think that the one of those quarterbacks, whether it's Michael Penix, whether it's Bo Nix, if one of those guys goes in the first round, somebody's going to steam him up here at like pick 11, pick 10, something like that, especially if it's in that 12, 13 range, like pre-pick 20.
If they do that, if let's say Bo Nix or Penix gets drafted the first round, they get bumped up to the back of the first. Are you, as somebody who's holding an early second round pick, saying thank you? Like, I that's just more value for me. Or are you, would you have rather had that value on the quarterback? To put it properly, is that going to be proper value, or is that player going to turn into someone who's overvalued?
I think there's always a chance that one of those guys can get overvalued if they get steamed up too high in the NFL draft. And certainly the profiles are not something where we're like, those are surefire fantasy assets. But I think it really is the scarcity of the quarterback position in Superflex, where it's very finite in terms of the number of starters every week at the quarterback spot, where if those guys have the starting job with a little bit more job security because of their first round draft capital, then I think they become a little bit more appealing. But that being said, Matt, usually when a guy gets pushed down just because, you know, a quarterback gets steamed up, then that usually makes those early second round picks more valuable. So if I'm sitting at the beginning of the second, I'd be super happy to have, you know, my choice of running backs as well as some of these wide receivers that we're really excited about.
Yeah, and before we start round two, don't forget to click the like button, subscribe to the Player Profiler channel. We are well on the, like, we just had the road to WrestleMania. We're on the road to 25,000 subscribers, and we're hoping to get there by the NFL draft, and we can't do it without your support. And all you got to do is hover your mouse over that button and just click it. That it means so much to us. That means that you want more of what we're doing. Like button, same story. So don't forget to click like and subscribe. But fellas, I think we're going to go ahead and kick off round two. Of course, if I can find the right button, there it is. So we'll start round two with JT Thomas on the clock. And going back to what you were saying, Theo, I think that's very, like, those are words that a true veteran of Dynasty says, you know, like that's how, you know, Theo breaks it down very in depth, and it's very well said. Like, if those quarterbacks are falling, like Penix comes off at the 2-2 there, obviously landing spot is going to matter. But yes, no, I totally, that's very well said.
That was mean.
What did I do?
A little job.
No, Theo is.
Oh, okay. All right.
It wasn't mean more so as it was the proper pick for the position, but I was just upset that he didn't let me take him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a slight chance he gets inside the top 40.
It wouldn't shock me, man. He, you know, a lot of people, especially a lot of those film grinders, love Jonathan Brooks.
Carolina had him in on a top 30. They have 2 second round picks in the top 40 picks. Pick 39. That might be the way that they sort of create support for Bryce Young in that offense by having a dynamic kind of two-way running back. And they certainly could use Chuba Hubbard in a reduced role with Brooks kind of taking over whenever he's fully healthy. I think that that's in the wheelhouse. More likely than not, he lands somewhere, you know, pick 50 and on. But if he lands well, I think that the 203 is probably a steal.
No doubt about it. I mean, he certainly could be the first running back off the board in this class with all these running backs. Kind of, you were kind of seeing all these running backs come off in the second round off the board here. But just to recap the first part of this, we have Keon Coleman at the 201, Michael Penix at the 2-2, Jonathan Brooks at the 2-3, Troy Franklin at the 2-4, taken by Matt Babich, Trey Benson and Blake Corum come off at the 205 and the 206. Matt Babich,
can you force pick Roman Wilson? My dad's texting me. He's having app problems.
Oh yeah. We can do that. If I got to get it in time, there we go. I got it in time. So Roman Wilson comes up at the 2-7. Matt, why don't you talk about the Troy Franklin pick? Do you think he's the, like, one of the ultimate values now because of his combine performance. He didn't do as well as people thought there. Like, what are you thinking about Troy Franklin?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd necessarily call him the ultimate value, but the fact that he was, excuse me, going in the back of the first round and he was in that 110 to 112 conversation not 2 months ago, and now he's sitting here at the 2-4 because of kind of a bad combine. And, you know, I never want to put too much emphasis on the combine. It's a really weird day. You have a lot of media presences that you have to make. And then, you know, at some point in the evening, you have to warm up and go run sprints and routes on a field you've never played on with people you've never met. Not everybody's going to take that as graciously as others. So I'm putting little stock into it. He's still a very talented player. You know, John Lobb is very high on Franklin. He scores very highly in his model. And if he thinks highly of him as a prospect, there's definitely a lot of pros to Troy Franklin's game. So I'm not necessarily in full fade mode. And if he's going to be available in the early mid second round, I'm going to have some shares.
Ooh, I was loving my options there. Ooh,
slick Rick.
Ricky Pearsall, one of the more insulated rookies, I believe.
Love
comes off the board at the 210, but that leaves me. I don't get to take him a lot, but I'm going to take Marshawn Lloyd at the 211, and I love that.
Love it.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, I was sitting pretty there with – I had Bo Nix, Pearsall, and Lloyd as soon as – and Jalen Wright, really, until he – I knew he probably wasn't going to fall, but I'm going to go ahead and pause this real quick. We'll recap round two. I think I got up through 207 for the podcast audience, but 208 was Jalen Wright, Bo Nix at the 209, Ricky Pearsall at the 210, Marshawn Lloyd, pick chosen by me at the 211, and then Audric Estime chosen by Bradley Stalder. What do you guys make of the second round? Any surprises here?
Well, Estime, the market sort of correcting itself a little bit. That's a guy that I believe last week when we drafted together, Seth, he was going like end of the third. But there are some smart people back on Estime. They think he'll end up being like a fourth or fifth round pick. And Bradley Stalder is also a diehard Notre Dame Fighting Irish guy. So he's got that, you know, Notre Dame bias. So he wanted to get that Estime pick in. I think it's besides the Estime pick, it's all pretty fairly reasonable selections. Nothing too crazy in terms of like a reach or anything like that.
What do you think, Matt? Any thoughts here?
Yeah, I've seen some advanced metrics kind of come out on a couple of running backs, one being Audric Estime. On the, I believe the one that stood out the most was the percentage of carries that were into stacked boxes versus the yards per carry versus stacked boxes. There's a big cluster of running backs, and then there are two at the very, very, very far right, and one of them is Audric Estime. So that's one of the stats that popped out to me, which is he kind of got dealt a bad hand his senior season, and he still succeeded in the face of that. And so some of his box score stats need to be taken at face value, just considering the type of personnel that he was facing and the type of offense he was in. I think we all know that Sam Hartman wasn't being relied on to get this offense over the hump. Not a very good quarterback, not a very good passing game in Notre Dame. Audric Estime was needed to be, you know, he's kind of that bowling ball up the middle guy, but that's a role that we just talked about, you know, Braylon Allen being a good AJ Dillon. And so, you know, this is a mold that can be very productive and, you know, very valuable in dynasty. If you have an RB2 handcuff plus RB, that's going to be important, because if they stay on the field, they're going to get opportunities throughout the year, and that's what pays off.
Yeah, and if you give Estime the pro day 40, his athletic profile changes completely. And a lot of people say you can't trust it, but it looked pretty 4.65-ish to me. So certainly a big improvement over what we saw at the combine.
All right, we're going to roll right into round three, and JT Thomas has already taken Xavier Leggett at the 3-1. So Matty Kuhlman is on the clock at the 3-2, and he takes Will Shipley.
So Matty takes Will Shipley. I could go in a number of directions here. I think I'm going to go with I'm going to go with a little bit of Malachi Corley because I took a running back last round, and I know Seth was thinking maybe he'd fall to him at the end of the third, so I wanted to snipe him.
The yak god in this class, Malachi Corley. That is a great, great pick. I'm very bullish on Malachi Corley. I'm going to have a lot of Malachi Corley.
Yeah, Malachi Corley was in the 1A, 1B conversation for me. And this is a guy that Cody Carpentier and I have agreed on for a couple months now, and that's Jalen Polk out of Washington. He's a guy that did not get all of the shine because he was in an offense with Romo Dunze, and he is a late breakout. But last season, he had 70 receptions, nearly 1,200 receiving yards, almost broke a 10-touchdown threshold. He has great burst, 80th plus percentile. He has the traits to be that, you know, not to steal the comp right off the page, but the Romeo Dubs-esque late round production profile, but great work ethic, good talent on the field, and ends up finding his role and ends up being a productive wide receiver, you know, low end wide receiver too, because I do think he's more talented than Romeo Dubs. He has a better profile than Romeo Dubs, but he's a guy that the talent doesn't necessarily match the stats. And that's, I know, different for me being mostly an analytics guy, but I love Jalen Polk's game, and I think he's going to translate it well to the next level.
Is there a
message? Braylon Allen. Okay. Braylon Allen. Sorry. Right. I didn't check my phone while going through that whole.
No, you're good. Deal. You're good. It was just bad timing. Cause you're going on a impassioned soliloquy on your pick, and your dad's probably frantic on the other end of the line, like, I want Braylon Allen, but it worked out. All's well that ends well. So we have, let's see. So we started with Leggett at the 3-1, Shipley at the 3-2. Theo takes Malachi Corley at the 3-0-3. Matt follows up with potentially the receiver with the best hands in the class, and Jalen Polk. Javon Baker goes at the 3-5. I was kind of surprised you didn't go Baker there, but Polk's a good pick, I think. Then Spencer Rattler, taken by Jonathan Lang at the 306, Braylon Allen, 307, Devontae Walker, Jatavion Sanders, my guy Jermaine Burton. I get sniped, even though he's off of some people's boards, and now I am on the clock at the 311.
Man. Steve Smith's comp, too, for Jalen Polk was TJ Houshmandzadeh.
Yeah, Polk's going to be a second-round pick in the NFL draft. So, you know, we saw Pete Schrager, you know, project him to 32 overall. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think somewhere in that 45 to 55 range, I think Polk's going to go there. And second round draft capital means a lot.
And I go Bucky Irving at the 311. I just feel it's,
I love Bucky Irving. I love the Benson Ott pick too, but
yeah, I was torn in a couple different directions there, but I haven't taken Bucky Irving a lot. Here, I'll pause this just for a minute as Theo Johnson comes up at the 411 or the 411, the 401. I took Bucky Irving at the 311. Ben Sinat comes off at the 312. What do you guys make of round three? Pretty what you expected?
I mean, anytime you get to round three, things start to kind of move around and a lot more personal preference and flag planting comes into play. I don't think there was anything too crazy. Bucky Irving would be the one where I would say the draft capital, though, Seth, like when we get to the actual NFL draft, like let's say he's a sixth round pick. It's harder to like that profile. I think that he's still got a chance to get inside of round four, round five. You kind of would like to see that. Of course, we talked about Burton with some of the off the field issues and some teams maybe adjusting their board on him, but getting him to the end of the third is fine. I love the Ben Sinat pick by Bradley. Actually talked about Ben Sinat with Bradley and Dan Williamson at some point recently on Stack Hunters. Ben Sinat is a guy that I've been taking a lot of underdog drafts. The Vegas totals for him have him landing somewhere in the late second or early third. And I think in tight end premium, he's a really, really interesting prospect. Had a really high ADOT, led Kansas State in receiving yards. He's a very, very fantasy-friendly type tight end prospect, had the highest vertical among all tight ends at the combine as well. He's got some athleticism.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and start this draft back up where you're entering the fourth round. Like I said, Theo Johnson, first off the board in the fourth round at the 401. Matty Kuhlman on the clock right now, and I'll get rid of that so people can actually see the draft board. I need to do a bit more investigating in these NFL draft props, Theo, because that's a sneaky thing to look at especially if you're doing your rookie draft before the NFL draft, like some real sickos do. That's a fantastic thing to look at for sure.
So the one I recommend, Seth, is Circa Sports. Circa Sports has a ton of the just the over unders on where a player is going to get selected. It's also very easy to consume. They tweeted it out. That's sort of where I've been pulling off of. And it was some interesting guys made that board. I'm OTC here. I am going to go with, I've taken two wide receivers and one running back. I think I'm going to go back to the running back well here. And I'm going to go with everyone's favorite steamer and riser, Tyrone Tracy.
There you go. That's a great pick. That's a great pick.
I will follow suit with my first running back of the draft and go with Kimani Vidal. Talking about him backstage before the podcast, if he goes to the Baltimore Ravens, this pick is going to be sweet because – or sorry, if he goes to the Chargers, because J.K. Dobbins, who was once a Raven, is now reunited with Greg Roman in Los Angeles. And so if Kimani Vidal becomes a Charger, then that's going to be sweet because the backfield competition would be him and J.K. Dobbins. And as much as I love Dobbins, the history is there to where even if he stays healthy, you're going to have to give Vidal opportunities throughout the year because you got to be able to preserve Dobbins' health.
It'll be interesting to see how much money they gave J.K. Dobbins for the 1 year. That I want to look into.
But I do want to look into it, but at the same time, that was a reason why people weren't in on Chuba Hubbard last year, was because Miles Sanders got all this money.
Well, that's...
It's different because the Chargers are in a different situation.
Chuba was drafted... And, you know, I'll say that the better parallel or the more, I would say the more interesting parallel would be looking at Rashad Penny, where Rashad Penny got that really low contract from Philly. And he had that sort of steam for a little while. And then, of course, the DeAndre Swift trade happened at the NFL draft and sort of changed things a little bit. But it's sort of like that. Like there, J.K. Dobbins, a guy we all want to really believe in, but we haven't seen it yet. I don't know.
Malik Washington.
He's not there, Matt.
Malik Washington was selected by Koa.
Ray Davis, Jacob Cowing, Jalen McMillan.
Let's just give him Ray Davis.
Okay.
Need to worry too much about who gets picked where.
All right. There we go.
Tyler Knavely would be happy with that pick. Ray Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he loves the guy.
Ray Davis in the fourth round. I'm for it for sure.
That's the, that's the situation. You got Dylan Laub. You got Ray Davis. These are the running back dart throw range where you got your Dylan Johnson as well. I prefer Laub to Ray Davis as of right now, but it's pretty close. But this is the round where you just want to take guys with a profile that can get some opportunity early on in their career.
Yeah, like you said, we're entering, you know, real sicko territory here with the fifth round. And some of these guys might not even be in sleeper, so we might have to make some commentary on them. But I'm going to go ahead and take the guy that I was bullish on before the show, and that's Rasheen Ali from Marshall. And now I have three running backs. I think we're just going to roll into this fifth round. I'll recap it briefly. At the 402, Brendan Rice. At the 401, rather, Theo Johnson, Brendan Rice, Tyrone Tracy taken by Theo, Kimani Vidal at the 404, Malik Washington at the 405, Luke McCaffrey taken at the 406, Ray Davis at the 407, Dylan Laub at the 408, Johnny Wilson at the 409, Isaac, I can't say this guy's name, Gorendo at the 410, Rasheen Ali at the 411, Jamari Thrash at the 412. And at the 5-1, Jalen McMillan, Cade Stover comes off at the 5 5:02, and now Theo's on the clock at the 5:03.
I'm going Jaheim Bell.
It's a good
pick. And I think Jaheim Bell's really good value here in the fifth round. Very athletic guy, a little smaller in terms of height and weight, but he has the wingspan, really, really good after the catch. If he lands on a team that's willing to give him a, you know, plus 50% snap share, he could be really interesting. Gerald Everett-esque.
Yeah, he's a little bit short for a tight end, but honestly, yeah, like watching him play, and he's not the greatest blocker in the world, but these prospects, like later in the draft, you're not going to get everything. But what he does really well from what I saw is he's a great receiver, and he's great with the ball in his hands after the catch. Like, he's a good athlete. So I think I like that pick a lot. He's one of my sleepers.
Tight end shrinking anyway, Seth. All your big tight ends in Dynasty right now are all 6'4", 240, 250 tops. So, yeah, like, you know, the guy like Jaheim Bell, a little small, but it's the right era to be a small tight end.
Yeah, fifth round, absolutely. I like the pick a lot. So Matt gets his guy, Jacob Cowing. You want to talk about Jacob Cowing in the fifth round, Matt?
Yeah, I would love to. Let me grab this pick here for us all first. We're going to go Frank Gore Jr.
All right.
So Jacob Cowing, what's the big difference between him and Malik Washington? Well, Jacob Cowing broke out early at UTEP. So he was a small school early breakout before the age of 19, went on to have consecutive 30%+ target share seasons for the rest of his college career. And similarly, he was also the lifeblood of the Arizona passing game. And so he is undersized, but that's why he's a fifth round pick. So I'm not going to be too afraid of his size at this cost. What I'm going to buy into is his skill and his ability to get open. And in this game, if you're small, but your technique is good and you can find your way open, there's infinite ways for an offensive coordinator to get you in the position to succeed. And so he's a guy who's going to be a gadget tool for a number of teams. And if he lands in a good landing spot, it makes it all the better.
And now I have a decision to make here in the fifth round. And I'm going back and forth here, guys. Not going to lie to you. So I'm looking.
Just take another running back, Seth. You're in a running back mood.
I don't know. How much time do I have? 30 seconds. Oh, that's plenty of time. I'm going to take the super, well, he's not a super producer, but he was pretty good at Illinois. I'll take Dylan Hulker. I could really go in a number of different directions. I'll go Isaiah Williams. It's probably not smart to take a wide receiver. It's probably smarter to take maybe a Blake Watson there, who I know a lot of people in the chat are very high on, but I haven't taken a lot of Isaiah Williams from Illinois, who had a 1,000-yard receiving season this past year and was productive enough, even at age 20, over 500 receiving yards. So again, not a terrible prospect. Anyway, I'll take him, and that's going to wrap up our mock draft. And I guess we're professionals because we're right at an hour that this mock draft is over. Let's recap it a little bit, and then maybe we'll get a bold prediction for the NFL draft from Theo. But what stands out to you? Who do you think had a really good draft here?
I love my draft. I think my draft represents everything I want in terms of high upside selections. But I'll say Jonathan Lang, I thought he did some nice things with Roma Dunze, Blake Corum, and then he gets Spencer Absolutely. Rattler. I like that start. And then I like what shout out to Samuel Babich, Drake May, great value. Roman Wilson, great value. And then Braylon Allen could end up being great value. So I had really, really good first three round picks. I sort of like both of those drafts.
Matt, what do you think here? Who had a good draft?
So Chuck Ganopoulos is going off in the chat forum, but I agree. I like what Sugar Ricky put together. So Xavier Worthy at the back of the first. If you've heard me talk about Xavier Worthy, you know how much I love him and Slick Rick the Ruler, Ricky Pearsall. If I know we laughed at him at one point, but from now on, if Steve Smith is talking positive about a receiver, I'm going to listen because he knows. It turns out he knows how to identify talent, re Cooper Kupp. But I love what Ricky Pearsall has to bring to the table. Jermaine Burton, we've been talking about him being a sleeper who could be an ultimate value based on potential off the field concerns. I don't love the Guerrero pick personally. He's not my favorite of these late round running backs, but Dylan Laub was gone and Ray Davis was gone. So I suppose he was pretty much the best running back on the board. So I liked that draft for sure. And then Bradley definitely brought the heat by taking Estime, McConkey, Sanat. That was a great draft from Bradley as well. I really like what most people kind of brought to the table today.
I blew it. I'm just going to say this. I should have taken Blake Watson. I should have probably taken Ben Sinnott if I had to do it all over again. That would have totally transformed my draft. You know, anyway, but it's a good lesson being at the 111. I'm fine with Adonai Mitchell and Marshawn Lloyd. I think those two picks were great. But Bucky Irving, I heard Theo talking about it. Like, who knows? Like, this is a smaller running back. He didn't run a good 40. He might plummet in the draft. I like Ali at the 411. But yeah, I was kind of at the 5-11. I was going in between too many names. But this is a good exercise for me. It's a good exercise for everybody out there. Thank you guys for watching. Don't forget to click like and subscribe before you go. And before we go, I'm going to stop sharing so we can actually see everybody. Theo, plug whatever you have to plug and give us a bold prediction for the NFL draft.
Bold prediction for the NFL draft. I think that we see a tie for the most wide receivers ever selected in the first round. I think we get 7. And I think at the end, we'll all be rooting for there to be the 8th, but it might be pick 32 that's the 7th. But I think we'll see a tie. I don't know how bold that is. I think it's right around the number, but some books have 5.5. I like the over for the wide receivers. I'll plug what we're doing next week with our draft coverage right here at Player Profiler. You can watch every single round with us and post-draft shows on day 1 and day 2. We're going to have 2 post-draft shows. One of them is going to be hosted by Seth. We're going to have, 5 or 6 guys in 10-minute segments sort of recapping the day from a fantasy perspective. It is going to be very cool. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. And check out Dynasty Life. I just dropped one with Ryan McDowell. I've got one with Scott Barrett coming out this week, trying to load up as many Dynasty Lives as possible before we get to Thursday. Seth, we're 8 days away, Matt Babich, 8 days away.
8 days. So I guess this is the time where I plug what I have to plug in.
Plug it away.
So bold prediction, just because I want to have fun with it. JJ McCarthy, not a top 5 pick. He gets a similar Levis treatment, except he does go early to mid first round. All these talks of 3, 4, 5, these trade ups, none of them are going to happen. Not a single trade up into the top 5 is my other bold prediction. So Player Profiler Rookie Guide is officially out there. So you got a verbalized version here on the Dynasty Roundtable podcast, but for $20, you can get the most in-depth rookie guide in the business. I mean, I was scrolling through it. It feels like every year we just up the game to where, look, I'm not in the behind the scenes conversations. So I'm another consumer when I see this product, and every year I'm like, damn, they did it again. They outdid themselves again. And that's what happened with the rookie guide. It looks incredible. So many stats, individual rankings, personalized player bios. And you can even find one written by me, for Xavier Worthy. Just an incredible piece of content. And before you go into your rookie drafts, be sure to have the rookie guide. So go get it on playerprofiler.com. Other than that, you can catch me on Saturdays on the Player Profiler News YouTube for Player Profiler Today. Once again, my weekly shout out to everybody who's involved with the Player Profiler News team. Bradley Stalder and is doing an incredible job with his anchors. We have Player Profiler News dropping on the website constantly, on the Twitter page, at Profiler underscore NFL constantly. We have content going to the YouTube Player Profiler News constantly. And 7 days a week, we have Player Profiler Today on that YouTube channel, on that Twitter, on Facebook, bringing you the same news, not the same news every day, but the same great news show every day of the week. It's an incredible time. So be sure to check that out. And you can check me out personally at Saturdays at 6 p.m. Central.
Yeah, amazing. So you guys got to be tapped into Player Profiler News. You go follow that channel or subscribe to it. You got to subscribe to this one, like the video. Player Profiler, to me, there's nobody doing more good content than Player Profiler, bringing in so many talented people like John Lobb, Memphis. Obviously, Theo's doing his thing. So you got to be tapped in for all of it. Obviously, you know, I didn't even mention the Podfather, who's doing shows, Mind of Mansion, Sonic Truth. If you haven't heard of those, you've probably been living under a rock, but go check those out all on the Player Profiler YouTube channel. You can follow me at Seth underscore D-I-E-W-O-L-D, Dewald, not Die World on Twitter. And until next time, I mean, I guess we have one question in the chat. We can maybe end with this.
Yes, go buy Rashi Rice.
Matt?
We said last week that he was a firm hold. If the value's actually dipping, I'm going to buy.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm buying.
I've had a week to think about it, and I think the dust has settled a little bit to where I'm willing to do it.
Startup values are reflective to him being a little bit of a discount right now. Go get yourself some Rashi Rice.
Absolutely. And until next time, nobody cares about Aaron Rodgers, even though we want him to help out Garrett Wilson this year. So if he can do that, he will have served his purpose. Just focus on football, Aaron. Wiseman for Heisman, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye, everybody.